الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. في قلوبهم مرض فزادهم الله مرضا. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. We've been speaking about the heart, and a couple of gatherings ago, we really identified that based off of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that the heart really is a driver of all of our actions and and is responsible for the movement of our limbs. And as a result, when a person wants to adjust or improve upon their outward manifestation of Islam, the target is to focus in completely on the heart. And that will then drive action, and that will then drive obedience to Allah. And then we spoke about how the heart requires, in order for it to be driven toward Allah, it requires a deep love for Allah. And we talked about the way by which we develop or establish this deep love for Allah in our hearts is based off of the two understandings, which is that of the dhat and sifat, the essence of Allah and the characteristics of Allah. And we talked about practical ways by which you and I can incorporate this to bring the love of Allah into our hearts. Now, the next point to understand about the heart is that we understand that the heart is responsible for everything. We understand that the heart is, in order for it to generate an effective servant of Allah, that it has to be filled with the love of Allah. But then the next question that we should ask ourselves is, okay, but what actually prevents the love of Allah Ta'ala from entering into our hearts? What prevents the love of Allah Ta'ala from entering into our hearts? Because, I mean, ultimately, if I know my goal is to fill my heart with the love of Allah, and that love is then going to drive through that heart, it's going to drive improvement and action and obedience and servitude, etc., etc. Well, then, is there something that can prevent the love of Allah Ta'ala from establishing itself deeply within my heart? A way to think about it is like this, right? The heart is a vessel, and when any vessel is filled with a significant impurity, no matter what you do to that vessel, what you add to it, for instance, you can add as much water as you want, but the vessel itself and the contents within it remain impure. They still remain impure, right? I mean, even if there was a drop of, let's say, impurity or filth in a cup of in an empty cup, and then you ask for a glass of water, and someone says, "Yo, I'm going to get you water," and they fill that cup with water, and say, "Okay, go ahead and drink it." You're not going to drink it. They say, "No, I put a lot in there. There's barely any impurity in there still." You're still going to say, no, not interested. I want a fresh cup altogether that's completely clean. I don't want even an ounce of impurity to be mixed with the water that I'm going to drink, because that's now, you know, going to enter into my body. So similarly, the heart is a similar vessel. If it has any impurity within it, that impurity will eventually soil whatever else you add to it. Now, yes, you can dilute it. You can dilute as much as possible. So for instance, a drop of impurity in the ocean is relatively minimal, right? But that just means that you have to put a lot of, you know, water to completely dilute that out. It's impractical. From a dini perspective as well, yes, I mean, you can have a little bit of impurity in the heart, but then that requires so much addition of an effort to fill it with so much of the love of Allah Ta'ala. If a person were just focus on removing the impurities, right, then even a little bit of the remembrance of Allah and even a little bit of an understanding and appreciation of the dhat and the sifat of Allah would be sufficient to fill the heart with its love. So what is it about these impurities of the heart that prevent it from fully encoding the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within it? Now, I think the way to understand this is this. Allah Ta'ala has given us a heart, right? And so there are different things that can come into it that can completely destroy it, right? For example, many a times these are called the diseases of the heart, right? A person, for instance, their heart can be filled with riya or showing off. That's an impurity and it taints the heart. And a heart that has this, let's say, negative trait of showing off, it'll never be able to truly be filled with the love of Allah. Again, it's an impurity, it doesn't mix with the love of Allah. It's not possible. A heart can have the impurity of envy within it. You know, this desire to have what other people have, especially at their expense. That impurity, if it's in the heart, no matter how much dhikr you do, it's still going to for the most part, disable or prevent the love of Allah Ta'ala from totally encompassing the heart. The impurity of pride, the impurity of unlawful lust, these sorts of things that take seed within the heart, they really do prevent the love of Allah Ta'ala from entering into the heart. The way to think about it is this. All of us have within ourselves, we have our heart, of course, but a part of our being as well is that we've also been given what's called a nafs. We've also been given what's called a nafs. And nafs you can think of as that inner self that craves these sorts of animalistic desires. What happens is when the nafs, is fed by different things, that nafs becomes very uncontrolled, and as a result, it becomes really hard for a person to purify their heart fully. You can take the nafs, and that nafs, you can expose that nafs to uncontrolled senses. Look at whatever you want, eat whatever you want, listen to whatever you want, whatever makes you feel happy and comfortable. What happens is that's food for the nafs. You can take the nafs and you can put it in the company of shaitan and appreciate that all of us has a nafs. Shaitan himself is not able to force us to ever commit a sin. Shaitan does is he whispers to the nafs and he makes that sin or that action very appealing to the nafs. So then it facilitates the growth of the nafs. Bad company is another example. If a person consistently is in the company of bad people, that bad company will then feed the nafs, and the nafs continues to grow. And then of course, if a person performs sin, and in particular they do sin but they don't repent immediately or soon after performing the sin, or they don't do a true tawbah, well then all of these things sort of in collection or in concert with one another, they cause this this growth of the nafs. They cause this growth of the nafs. And so all of these things feed the nafs, and the nafs then amplifies desires, right? When someone has a very strong nafs, a disobedient nafs that's just been fed, uncontrollably, it amplifies desires. A person who has an uncontrolled nafs, they want everything to be as comfortable as possible. They can't handle even a moment of discomfort. A person who has an uncontrolled nafs, they are always wanting to be in control. They're never able to give up their control to someone else or to some other anything, such as Allah. They have to be in control. A person who has an uncontrolled nafs, they seek pleasure in everything they do. Even if it's at the expense of someone else, even if it's at the expense of their servitude to Allah. Because the nafs just wants to be pleased in the moment. That's all it thinks about. I want everything and I want everything now. I want comfort and I want that comfort now. I want to experience happiness. I want that experience now. That's the reality of the nafs. And so what happens, the reason I'm bringing up the nafs into discussion is that the nafs is what causes these impurities that we were speaking about, envy, hasad, pride, love of wealth, to become deeply rooted within the heart. To become deeply rooted within the heart. Deeply rooted. So that if a person desires the love of Allah Ta'ala, it's incompatible, we already mentioned, with impurity. But in particular, it's incompatible with an uncontrolled nafs. It's incompatible with that. They go completely, they oppose one another. A person's trying to grow their heart with the love of Allah Ta'ala, right? And meanwhile, the nafs is just completely outdoing it. The nafs is going to continue to facilitate the destruction of the heart, right? And on the flip side, just to make sense of all of this, if a person decides that, you know what, impurity is affecting my heart. It's affecting my heart. It's causing the growth of my nafs. And they prevent impurities and the whispers of shaitan and all of these things from entering into the nafs, right? The nafs becomes suppressed and inevitably the heart grows. And inevitably, any exposure of the heart to the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala causes the heart to then become fully encompassed in the love of Allah. And the effect of that is what? Complete obedience. That's when a person desires to go to the masjid on their own, not because someone encourages them. That's when a person desires to stand up and pray in the middle of the night, not because someone's watching them, but because they themselves are driven by this force of love that's within the heart. That's what causes a person to purposely give their wealth away for the sake of some other person. Not because that other person needs it, right? Not because someone's asking them for it. Not because someone's watching them. It's because they genuinely have a deep love for Allah Ta'ala in their heart, and they know that this is an expression of that love. And so that becomes the paradigm by which this whole ship operates, right? A person can't just think that I'm just going to compound and compound the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala in my heart and talk about that and slifat and all of these great things, but then all the while, they're filling their heart with all of these impurities. And within that sphere, I don't want to get too technical, is this nafs that loves these impurities, and it continues to grow, and it just moves the heart completely out of the picture. It makes it impossible for a person to really develop the love of Allah Ta'ala in their heart. But that's essential for all of us to really succeed when it comes to this. So we should all be very careful of this, right? This uncontrolled nafs and the exposures the company that our heart is in, and be very mindful of these things, because the heart is just being fed impurity after impurity after impurity. And it's not possible for impurity to be mixed within the same vessel of the heart with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So practically speaking, what does that mean for us, right? How is it that you and I can prevent these deep-seated or deeply rooted diseases from staying within our heart? And in particular, how do we prevent these from causing the nafs to be so uncontrolled that it completely, you know, moves the heart completely out of the picture? Right? The first is that you and I, we have to control what comes in. We have to control what comes in. Look, reality is that Allah Ta'ala has given us senses. He's given us sight. He's given us, you know, the ability to touch and grab and grasp. He's given us the ability to hear. He's given us the ability to taste. And so all of these things are senses, and each of these things becomes a pathway to the heart. And if we're focusing on impurity in particular, or filth in particular, anything that is negative, anything that doesn't have to do with Allah Ta'ala, without a pure intention as well, once those things come through the eyes or they go through the ears, the first place they're going to go settle is in the heart. The first place they're going to go settle is in the heart. So for instance, if a person says, you know, should I listen to music? The question isn't about is music halal or haram. The question is, where is that traveling to? What is that feeding, which is the nafs? Where is it taking its seat? In the heart. So if a person's seeking the love of Allah Ta'ala, there's no discussion about these sorts of things. Right? You can take anything for that matter. You can take, you know, streaming or watching uncontrollably on YouTube and these sorts of things. The question of halal or haram is out of the picture when it comes to this, because we don't need to have a discussion about that. The question is, if I'm consuming this through my eyes and through my ears, where is this going? It's going to my heart. And if it's not purity that I'm putting into my heart, what's the opposite of that? And that's incompatible with the love of Allah. So all of these channels that are sort of feeding into things, we have to be very careful. Now, let's go beyond even sinful things. Yeah, looking at haram is haram, fine. Looking at inappropriate things is fine. But even all the general things that we consume, the news for hours and hours and hours, the negativity that's contained within it, if we think that that's not having an effect on our heart, we're kidding ourselves, right? If we think all of this, the backbiting or the slander or, you know, all of these things that occur online and in the virtual world, if we think that, okay, but I'm not involved in it, I'm just sort of observing it. Yeah, okay, maybe you're not contributing, but the mere fact that these observations are being made, the mere fact that I'm being essentially entertained by this, all of these are traveling through my senses and finding a spot within my heart. And for a person who's looking for the love of Allah Ta'ala, it's going to be very difficult to be able to establish that, right? And so we have to be mindful of these things, mindful of what we're letting in particular, and mindful of what we're, what we're watching, what we're eating, what we're drinking, all of these things, because they all are incompatible with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, that doesn't mean that you and I can't, for the purposes of relaxation or for the purposes of being with our families and we want to just have a good time, that's a little bit different. That's with a pure intention and you're consuming something that has a higher purpose, right? Whether it be your sense of well-being or whether it be something else. But, you know, that's usually few and far in between, those examples. Those are relatively limited forms of consumption that are very calculated for a purpose. But the endless consumption, there's no way that you can watch, all these images and graphics of all war and destruction and to think that these things are not going to have an effect on me. Absolutely they are. I'm talking on a spiritual level, not even psychological, on a spiritual level in particular. So the first step for us to prevent these illnesses from taking deep root within our heart is to control what comes in and be mindful of what comes in. The second is to be careful of the company that we keep our heart in. Be careful of the company that we keep our heart in. We have to appreciate that Allah Ta'ala has created every human being with these hearts, and there's a transference that occurs between the hearts, right? I mean, there's a reason that when you're in the company of a righteous servant of Allah, or you're in the company of a scholar, you feel a particular presence. There's a reason when you're in the company of someone who disobeys Allah, disbelieves in Allah, and is rampant, their life is rampant in sin, that you feel, you know, a certain resistance develop within you. Because the hearts themselves have the ability to transfer between one another. So if I desire that I protect my heart from impurity, well, then I have to be mindful of where I'm keeping my heart. When I'm bringing my heart to the masjid in the company of other hearts that are also seeking purity and perhaps have been purified because of the frequency and cadence by which they're coming to the masjid, that's going to affect my heart as well, right? But if I'm going to keep my heart in the company of people who are frequenting other places, or keep my heart in the company of environments that are otherwise, you know, against Allah, or promote the disbelief of Allah, or promote the disobedience of Allah, the company of the hearts of other people will have an effect on our heart. So we have to be mindful of that as well. And I'm focusing primarily on protecting from impurity. Inshallah, next time we'll talk a little bit more about, you know, filling it with other things. So being mindful of the company that we keep. Because the company of the week, it's not a matter of, oh, this person's habit, I'm watching it, I'm, you know, channeling it, and then it's going to rub off onto me. It's not just a matter of that. It's not just a matter of that. This is occurring at a metaphysical level in particular. At a metaphysical level, if my heart is in the company of impure hearts, not that we're passing judgment, but just at least from what's apparent, that will have an effect on my heart as well. That's another metaphysical channel, you can say. A metaphysical is sixth sense that becomes problematic. So that's the second takeaway or practice point. The third, when it comes to preventing or protecting our hearts from developing these deep-seated illnesses, is to be very particular about our istighfar and our tawbah. Be very particular about our istighfar and tawbah. We know from hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that any time a believer, a person performs a sin, that a black dot appears on their heart. Right, and eventually, when a person perpetuates in sin, the heart becomes completely black. Right, not the physical heart per se, but the spiritual heart becomes completely blackened. Right, so you can imagine that's the sin through the whispers of shaitan, through all of these things that are causing the heart to become black. But we also know that a way by which we can quickly fix that problem is by asking Allah Ta'ala to forgive us when we do make a mistake, and asking Allah and reminding ourselves before Allah Ta'ala that we didn't really mean to do that. And we're expressing remorse. And so tawbah and istighfar, or repentance, let's put it together, all under the category of repentance, and asking Allah for forgiveness when we've made a mistake, is an incredibly powerful way to protect our hearts from these sorts of illnesses. Look, envy, hasad, riya, these sorts of, you know, diseases that, you know, are so commonly discussed and talked about, jealousy, pride, love of the dunya, and all of these things don't develop overnight. It takes time for these things to become deeply rooted within the heart. I already explained that, right? I mean, we're talking about sometimes weeks and months and sometimes years of disobedience that causes these things to sort of take full root within the heart. So we have to protect ourselves from that. And consistently and constantly look at our heart. And the moment we perform a sin that potentially causes a taint within our heart, we immediately ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. Because we want that to be completely removed, because we don't want any impurity to be within the heart that would prevent the love of Allah ta'ala from taking root, taking seed within it. This also applies to harming someone else. If we know that we've harmed someone else in some other way, at the masjid, or at work, or at school, or our colleagues, or we've said something bad, right, that has an effect on our heart. And if we immediately rectify it by asking them for forgiveness and then asking Allah for forgiveness after asking them, well, then we can almost assume nothing ever even happened. There is no blackness in the heart. There is no impurity within the heart. There is no impurity within the heart. So it's really important that this is a direct way by which we keep our hearts pure. A direct way by which we keep our hearts pure. So the first is that we should be mindful of what comes in particular through our senses. Because all of these things, as, let's say, whether they're sinful whether they're just a waste of time, or whether they're promoting negative thoughts and ideas. All of these things will have an effect on our heart, and these things will grow the nafs and facilitate the expansion of it, which prevents the love of Allah Ta'ala from entering. The second is to be very mindful of the company that we keep our heart in. The heart is in the company of others who have themselves spent weeks, months, years making their hearts black. We can expect some of that transfer to occur to us as well. Which, of course, then, you know, makes clear the point that we, you and I, are very, very dependent upon the company of pure hearts. We're very dependent upon the company of pure hearts. Whether it be in the masjid, whether it be in the company of people of piety, whether it be in gatherings where Allah is remembered, whether it be, you know, in the company of those who are oppressed. There's a lot of purity in these hearts, and being in the company of these hearts will affect us. And the final is that when we do commit a sin, because this might happen, it does happen, we're human, that we immediately ask Allah to forgive us, because we don't want even, you know, one mark of sin left on our heart, because of the bigger goal. The bigger goal is, I want the love of Allah in my heart, because I know that's going to channel and facilitate my growth, my success, my ambitious pursuit of Allah and His deen, and this deep love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the only way I'm going to do that is by protecting and preventing these illnesses from taking root within the heart. So we all have a responsibility. All of us in this gathering have a responsibility. That while we all aim to, now we all understand that the heart is what drives everything, good and evil. This is well established from the hadith of Prophet. We also know that a true obedient heart is one that's filled with love of Allah Ta'ala. And now we should appreciate that it's not just a matter of filling our heart with Allah's love through His remembrance, in particular the implementation of those things that support the remembrance of His dhat, and those things like muraqabah, and those things that facilitate His remembrance through His sifat, like the 99 names of Allah. We also now know that in order for us to actually succeed in this, we also have to prevent negative things from entering into the heart. Because any negativity of that sort is an impurity. And impurity is incompatible with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within our hearts. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you and I the tawfiq to appreciate the importance of His remembrance. May Allah ta'ala allow us to protect our hearts from ever being tainted with impurity, whether it be in the form of sin, whether it be in the form of bad company, whether it be in the form of the whispers of shaitan, whether it be in the form of an uncontrolled nafs. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow all of us to rectify our hearts through gatherings like these. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.